League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, we get to fire it up again. It's David Gao sitting next to the Monday Night Delight, Carla Dawson. And we have Mr. Harris behind the board. Robert, welcome in.
Thank you so much. Thank you guys for the opportunity once again.
It's Super Robert.
I try
Thanks
my best.
Thanks for taking care of us. That's the best.
Well, we didn't have the gloss last week. You went to the Rockets game.
That was
the opening game, Rockets-Warriors, that series
game
now underway.
Game one of the Western Conference Finals, that's right.
And that game one, it sure looked like it was all Warriors all the time. Durant took over. You were on site. And now the series 2-1.
Woo.
Very exciting time there.
Four looming tomorrow in Oakland.
And then the Celtics-Cavaliers about to tip off. It will be a game that will tip off while we're on the air. It should be a good matchup. You know, when you look at both these series, neither of the series have had a really tight game. It always seems to be somebody
blowout.
They're all blowouts.
One end or the other, right.
But tonight, I'm going to predict that Brad Stevens is going to make some adjustments. He's going to make it a close game. If I had to bet, I might... Well, I'd bet on the Cavaliers at home, but I do think it'll be our first close game of the playoffs, the conference finals.
Well, Brad Stevens got to pull out some magic. You know, 1-5 road record for Boston in these playoffs when they came into the playoffs with the number one road record in the Eastern Conference. So clearly a young team that is not quite used to the rigors of these playoffs and the ruckus in a visitor's stadium. That's for sure.
Well, that one about to get underway. Also, another prediction for that one, I'm going to say Chewbacca will be back at the stadium.
Exactly.
Recall Chewbacca showed up at the last Cavaliers-Celtics game, and he makes an impression.
And who is the player that didn't know him?
Well, Kendrick Perkins.
That's it, Perkins.
A longstanding veteran in the NBA, and he said, I don't keep up with that new stuff. He didn't know who Chewbacca was.
Okay, I'm not even going to give you any numbers, but I was a small child when the first Star Wars came out, and so it's not all that new, Kendrick.
It's not all that new.
Sad to say. But yeah. But that was pretty funny.
But Chewbacca's got a big film coming out. He's going to be there solo. I will be watching that. Probably solo. No one will want to go see it with me.
Maybe Kendrick will go with you.
All right. When we come back, we're going to break down the NBA matchups. And later this hour, we're going to get to hear from Rick Barry, former Rocket and Warrior. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
See, Robert Harris knows how to pick music that will make the gloss dance.
DJ,
Carla's
DJ
dancing
Harris.
Here. I wish everyone could see the movement going on. Well done, Robert.
He's Robert by day, Calvin Harris by night.
Well, I mean, the nickname around here is Bobby Beats. But,
Bobby D, I
Bobby
like it.
Bobby D.
Bobby Beats. Bobby Beats.
Bobby Beats.
Oh,
Bobby
okay,
Beats.
Bobby Beats. That works, too.
All right, Dr. Dre, step back. Bobby Beats is here. Woo!
All right, we are deep into NBA Conference Finals. Celtics and Cavaliers about to tip off. The Rockets and the Warriors. Boy, the Warriors sure sent a message last night. Steph Curry is back.
They set a couple playoff records, too. 16 consecutive home wins in the playoffs.
Incredible.
That's insane.
Insane.
And then franchise win for biggest playoff win in a 41-point beatdown of Houston.
Yep.
Wow.
And the Rockets now having really, I think, a must-win on the road here in a really tough environment.
Yeah, tomorrow night, pivotal game 4.
I mean, if they don't win tomorrow night, isn't the series over, a 3-1 lead with the Warriors?
You know, if you're the Cavaliers, you say no, because they came back from a 3-1 deficit. But I just think it's really tough when you're looking at a Golden State team that has lost four playoff games in the last 2 years, and then you're turning around and asking the Rockets to win three of the next four.
Yep.
That's pretty tough to do.
One thing I've been struck by is sort of the microwave analysis that happens. Oh. Every morning after every game, there's a big conclusion drawn. Steph Curry is injured and he can't play. Well, that was dispelled in game three. Yeah,
the beast was unleashed.
He sure played well. And then you have now a narrative that maybe James Harden isn't really playoff ready, isn't a guy who can carry his team in the conference finals. James Harden has played pretty well this series.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. That narrative needs to be cut immediately. That needs to go on the cutting room floor. James Harden has been phenomenal. Last year, Game 6 against San Antonio, that's what I would call choking. When you're just, your effort's not there, your legs aren't under you, you're not, your effort isn't there. Let me tell you, James Harden's point totals in the first three games in this series, 41. 41 should be enough to get a win. But he didn't have any support.
And that was the night Durant just busted loose.
Yeah, Durant had 38, so they effectively cancel each other out.
Yep.
27 in game two, 20 in game three. You show me the choking of that. I mean, James Harden is one member of the starting five. He is doing more than enough, and he is doing his share. And I don't want to hear that he's choking. I don't want to hear that he's not the difference. He is holding his own, and he's not enough by himself, especially against Golden State. I mean, when you saw game one, he looked phenomenal, and it wasn't enough. And that's against the Warriors, who had a great night for Klay, great night for Kevin Durant, and Curry was basically a no-show. You can't do that against that team, but it's not James's problem. He's doing what he can. Do you agree, or do you think I'm being
crazy? Oh, I agree completely, and I do find it. I mean, actually, if I just step back from this series, I think Golden State's is the better team, and so I don't know the need to say, well, Harden's not that, or Chris Paul's not good enough, or this and that. The negative narrative just doesn't need to come into play. The best you could say, if you want to go negative, is, well, maybe Chris Paul and James Harden aren't as good as the full team that the Warriors have. I mean, if we were to take the team, the Warriors and the Rockets, if we were to take all the players of both teams and do a draft, and you and I were to pick the players one by one, or we were to just say, let's stack rank the collective members of these two outfits.
Of the Western Conference Finals.
Of the Western Conference Finals. I think we'd start with Durant number one.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
And pick your number two.
My number two would be Harden.
Okay, so there you got a Rocket at number two. Durant number one.
They're not equal to me. I would take Durant first.
Oh, yeah, Durant is number one. He's the best player in this series.
I mean, you look at a guy that is 6'11", call it 7 feet, honestly,
yep,
with a 7'6 wingspan, that can shoot the three, that can weave the lane, that can dunk, that has a beautiful mid-range jumper, that has, you know, great free throw percentage. Holy mother, who does that?
Well, and we see some plays where he does a step back three. The defender's actually pretty much there, but raises up. And there's so much separation just with his height. And that's the point, that nobody at that height shoots the three very well, but he does.
Well, that picture over LeBron in the finals last year,
yes,
was beautiful.
Yep.
So, yeah. So he's my faraway number one. But James Harden is right there at number two.
Okay.
And his defense has come so far this year. I'm impressed. So you, James Harden, you know, haters, stop the haterade.
He's the second best player in this series.
Yes, and he's going to be the league MVP this year as well.
All right. The third best player in the series must be Steph Curry, is it not?
Yes.
And particularly after what we saw game three and his total potential to take over a game at any one time.
Exactly. I think that's what it is. You know, not for games one and two, but we know that you can't keep a shooter like that down. And the fact that he did keep shooting, having 1-3, 1-13 in game one, 1-11 or whatever it was in game two, and then blew the top off in the second half, not even in the first half of the game. He was 9 points, and then he had 17 points in the third quarter last night. So, yeah, that's someone I want.
All right, so your fourth and fifth best players, you're going to round out a starting five. It includes Durant, Harden, Curry. Who do you want four and five? You're going to go with Warriors, aren't you?
I am. I'm going to go with Klay.
Yep.
And I love CP3. Don't get me wrong. But if I'm looking at age and I'm looking at youth and I'm looking at experience, I'm going to take Klay.
So I Thompson really and Green are your four and five. So there's the rub. Four out of the five best players on the court are Warriors.
I'm going to take Green ahead of Clay.
Okay.
Yeah. What would you do?
I would do that ranking as well. I'm going to put CP3 as the sixth best player in this series. And that's no discredit to him. He's actually got some pretty stiff competition. Iguodala comes in at maybe seven. And so you've got, five out of the top seven players are Warriors. So I just think it's enough to say the Warriors are that good rather than saying, Harden is that bad or Harden isn't enough.
I think that's exactly what it is. Exactly what it is. You look at Houston, you don't have a 65-win season with Harden choking. He's not choking. He is so good, but the Warriors are so deep with, what we just stacked ranked in that talent to see that you really only need two of those starting five to have big nights.
Right.
And, that's not the case in Houston. You've got to have a little more than that.
Yeah, they had Steph Curry in their back pocket game one or two, and then they took him out in game three, and there he was. I mean, they've got the horses. Any one night, Durant or Curry can take over the game.
They really can. And then if not, then Clay does. And you look, here's the silent assassin to me, is Draymond Green. And you look, just look at his line from game three last night. So 9 points. Okay, that's respectable. 17 rebounds. Mm. Did you hear that? 17. So, he's averaged almost a triple-double throughout the playoffs, but he does it quietly and he's all over the court, including he can shoot the three. He had a three pretty early on. So he's very dangerous. And I think when you've got personalities like KD, Clay, and Steph that are more reserved, they lead on the court by their play. He's exactly what they need in a vocal leader, a fiery leader. The moxie, the emotion, sometimes a little too much. But that team needs that. He gets them going, which is really exciting. He takes a lot of criticism for it. But I'm telling you, he almost, to me, is the most, it's hard to say he's the most important, but he is a key factor. And you saw in the 2016 NBA Finals what happened without Green.
Yeah.
It didn't happen without Green.
Yep. No, so. Warriors stacked with probably four potential future Hall of Famers.
And credit Steve Kerr, because that's a real blending of talent. Mm-hmm. You've got a shooter. You've got a Swiss Army knife. You've got another shooter. You've got your moxie. And you've got your vet in Iguodala that can just do it all. So it's pretty, that's a great, great arsenal.
Indeed it is. All right, Celtics and Cavaliers about to tip off, and we will unpack that series later this hour. We're also going to be joined by Rick Barry, former Rocket, former Warrior, Hall of Fame basketball player, and a top 50 player in the NBA history.
Legend in his own time.
So we'll get to talk to him. But we're going to take a break now, and actually when we come back, we're going to look at Dez Bryant's free agency situation, see where he might land, and why is he not yet signed, when we return here on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Boss and the Gloss. And Robert Harris manning the board behind the glass. And maybe Robert can answer this question for us, but Dez Bryant has said that he's happy with the way his free agency is unfolding. I don't see that. I'm sure he thought there would be many, many suitors and lots of contract offers. There were reports that he got an offer from the Ravens that he turned down. It was not bad money, but that he was expecting better. How is this a good process for him? How could he feel good about it?
It's a situation for Dez. He wants the maximum contract. He doesn't want the veteran minimum. The production has slowed down. And you haven't been productive for like at least two seasons. So that's why you're getting the veteran minimum. I think the best situation for him probably was to sign to Baltimore. You would have been at least a number one guy there in that system. And you could have created a platform for yourself, especially if you had a great season this upcoming year and you might receive a big contract. Dez can still play. Only been in the NFL for eight seasons. He could still put up the same numbers he was when he came out of Oklahoma State. So it just had a slowing down moment, and he probably is looking to get signed at least up to preseason at least. Team should reach out soon.
Well, it is interesting, of course. He was released by the Cowboys right around the draft, which was not a good time. It would have been much easier for him. But there are teams still with receiver needs. There are teams that could look at Dez and slot him in as a number two.
And that's where I think, you know, Robert, you referred to his production that has gone down, which it has because of injuries. And, you know, he's 29 years old now, but he still can be a formidable receiver. I think the problem in Dallas and in Dallas needing to let him go is he came in as the number one option. That's where his mental state is. And he wasn't going to accept anything other than being the number one. But if he goes to someplace else, like, for example, I don't know, the Houston Texans. We're broadcasting here out of
Houston. Want him for the Texans.
I want him here because...
Houston, Texas, are you listening to the gloss? She is declaring Dez to the Texans. How do you see him fitting in?
I see him fitting in beautifully as a number three option, two or three option.
Okay.
You've got DeAndre Hopkins, obviously, as the number one, who's going to draw double teams. So it's a perfect situation for Dez behind a Will Fuller or to, you know, alternate with Will Fuller. And as a number two or number three option, because he's not going to have the double teams. They're going to be on Hopkins. He's still, and his yards after catch, I love what he does with that. We could use some, the Texans could use that. I say we because we're broadcasting out of Houston. But I like that. And he wants a one-year deal. We did that for, they did that for the Honey Badger.
Yep.
In Houston and Tyrann Mathieu. Let him prove himself. The Texans have the money. They have the cap space. Bring him in. This is a no risk to me. And if he's coming in knowing he's not the number one option, that's a safe place to bring him in. Now, he would have to agree to that.
And he may well. Jason Witten says that Dez will end up with the Packers.
But the Packers aren't talking to him.
That Aaron Rodgers, well, neither the Texans yet,
well, right.
But that at least you're talking about it.
Maybe. Yeah, that's right. They
well, the thing is Aaron Rodgers is great at throwing that back shoulder fade route.
Yes.
And that is a specialty of Dez. He loves to go vertical and then do the back shoulder. And Aaron would throw it the way Tony Romo threw it. And Dak Prescott was not particularly effective throwing it. So... that could be a fit as well, but it is striking. Dez is still unemployed at this moment, and it doesn't look like it's going to be the Giants. I think that was one of the first ideas on the table.
When they released Brandon Marshall.
When they released Brandon Marshall, and Dez wanted to play for a rival, he declared, so he could come and get payback, revenge games twice a year within the division. Anyway, it doesn't look like it's going to be within the division.
But the Texans have got the Cowboys on the schedule this year.
That's right. He could get
so
his revenge.
That could be helpful. It's a
absolutely.
Texas rivalry here. So.
All right.
Yeah, we'll see.
Now,
there's
another Cowboys wide receiver. Well, he's a current Cowboys wide receiver, not a former one. Terrence Williams got himself into some trouble this week. Terrence Williams, of course, the longstanding number two, perhaps number three, depending on how you view Cole Beasley. Williams has been with the Cowboys a long time, and the other night ran into a pole driving home at something like 4 in the morning. What was he doing?
He was driving a Lamborghini, a number one. Let's get that out there.
Yeah, the Lamborghini choice is curious. I don't know a lot of people with Lamborghinis.
No, and he's in the second year of a 4-year, $17 million deal. I mean, that is some great money. But $3.5 million is guaranteed. How much is a Lamborghini?
It's too much.
It's
for
too much.
Anybody, but particularly for an NFL player whose best earning years are going to be about 5 to 7 years and needs to sock away money to satisfy the rest of his life. You don't buy a Lamborghini, point one.
Right. That's the first thing that's
okay. What's the second mistake?
The second mistake is his 2017 numbers. Okay. So he had 53 catches for a career low 568 yards. Here's the worst thing. 0 touchdowns for the first time in his career. Okay, so if you're sporting a line like that, do you think you should be out? Wasn't he near the training facility, the Cowboys practice facility in Frisco at like 5 in the morning? This is not a good look. And now with it, you know more. You're our Cowboys, you know, in-house expert. They've rehauled their receiving corps. Are they going to hang on to Terrence Williams? Is he worth the trouble?
No, I'm actually going to tell you that when the season begins, Terrence Williams will not be on the Cowboys roster.
No star on his chest.
No. Mm-hmm. One, his productivity isn't that impressive. And two, what the Cowboys have done in the offseason is collected a lot of assets at the receiver position. If you want to critique their receiver position, you can say, well, they don't have a number one. And that's true. But they've got a lot of guys who are pretty good or above average. And Terrence Williams is maybe pretty good on a good day. But there are a lot of people like him on that roster. They've gone out, they signed Allen Hurns, they have signed Deontay Thompson, who has a great deal of speed. They traded for Tavon Austin, who will line up in the slot sometimes. Of course, they've got Cole Beasley returning. They drafted Michael Gallup in the third round, Cedric Wilson in the sixth round. And they've got Noah Brown from last year, Lucas Lenoir. They've got the horses. I just don't see how Terrence Williams, with this issue, stays on the roster. I think this was something, he was on the bubble to begin, And to do something like this, it's just foolish.
Well, you know, speaking of foolish, you know, it's not like he got in the crash and was just waiting in his car. They found him riding an electric bicycle near his home at 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah, so he ran into the pole, got home, and then chose to go out on his electric bicycle. Now, I think he said he was going to ride the bike back to the car where he was waiting for a tow truck. Right.
Right.
All early morning hours. What's your great quote about something nothing Mike Pearson used to say? Something nothing good happens after midnight or something?
The only thing open after midnight are bars, no, hospitals and legs. Not good.
Wow, Ms. Carlin.
That's Mike Pearson.
Wow.
She quotes the great Mike Pearson.
But the Terrence Williams situation is crazy. Like, if you have all this money, I don't understand this about NFL players. Get a Lyft, get a Uber, get a chauffeur to drive you around the city. There's no reason you should be out at 4 o'clock in the morning in a Lamborghini, first of all, crash into a pole, then wait for the police or anything, then wait for anybody.
Flee the scene.
And police found you later on. They ran the tags and found you later on a electric scooter or electric moped or whatever. Public intoxication, like, that's a problem. That is a problem.
I like the way Robert summarizes that. You know, that's a nice synopsis of the reason he didn't take the Uber, though. I can answer that question. If you have a Lamborghini, you want to drive it around on the town, particularly late at night.
It's a chick magnet. I would think so.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I think
we might be seeing
this is the beginning of the end of the Terrence Williams era. We shall see. Meanwhile, your Raiders, actually, were the last team to do so, but they signed their first-round pick. He is Colton Miller, and he is the final first-round pick signed in the new collective bargaining agreement. Everybody signs pretty quickly without great drama. But congratulations to your Raiders on picking up Colton Miller.
Yes, I think so. It remains to be seen.
You were a little restless with that pick for the Raiders.
I was a little restless with it. I mean, they traded down to 15, but I didn't see Colton Miller going that high. But you know what? I love John Gruden. I trust Chucky, so let's see what he's got. But, you know, Colton Miller is a force, 6'9", 315 pounds. Don't want to meet him down a dark alley. And can play both right tackle, left tackle. So they've obviously seen something they like in him. I also should admit I'm a USC grad. He's a UCLA guy. So I'm not supposed to really love him straight out of the chute. But I've got open-minded, ready to see what he can do.
Okay. Give us an update on the Texans. Justin Reed, their first-round pick, that safety, he's going to slide in nicely alongside the Hunting Badger.
He's a beautiful pickup.
Yep.
That's a great pickup. They got a smart guy. He was called the ball hawk at Stanford.
And you don't like him just because he's Stanford.
No, I like him just because he's him. He's big
good.
And fast.
Yeah.
6'1", 207 pounds. He runs like a 4.38 40. I mean, he's impressive. And his numbers at Stanford in this last season, 99 tackles, 5 interceptions, 6.5 tackles for loss, all Pac-12, and when he was in high school in Louisiana, All-State. I mean, he's big time. You know, he's Eric Reed's brother, former San Francisco 49er. So he has been around. He's been in a football family. His brother talked to him. He watched tons of film with his brother. He's ready for the NFL, which is going to help him with a complicated Texans playbook.
I'm going to tell you that among the best free agents or the best free agent left on the market, it might be Eric Reed, mm-hmm. the safety.
Oh, yeah.
I would take Eric Reed over Dez Bryant right now. I obviously depend on your positional needs.
Cowboy blasphemy?
I'm not keen on what Dez is going to give you right now. I think Eric Reed is a guy who should be signed by somebody.
Okay, do you think he will be?
Well, that's the rub. I mean, he's been linked to Colin Kaepernick. There are all kinds of concerns that he's not going to be a good fit in a clubhouse in a world where they don't want anyone taking a knee. I really worry about his career, but I think he's a guy who can play and contribute. I mean, actually, you mentioned the Cowboys. Cowboys could use some depth at safety. Mm-hmm. They're likely to start Xavier Woods, mm-hmm. who was about a 6th-round pick a year or two ago. This is a guy, Reed, who could come in and really help stabilize that defensive backfield.
I agree. I hope he gets picked up, and I'm sad for him that he's being painted in an unfair light, what seems like an unfair light, because he is a real talent and he's young.
But, you know, back to the Texans. The headline here, Texans are not that far away from being a Super Bowl contender. This is a team that when they get Deshaun Watson back could be electric offensively, and we know how good they are defensively.
Yeah. No, honestly, I think he was the most exciting player in the NFL last year, Deshaun Watson. So let's hope that the ACL injury He's done it before, and he looked great. So planning on big things for him for the Texans.
All right, when we come back, we're going to shift gears to the NBA. We're going to get a chance to interview Rick Barry, Hall of Fame NBA player Rick Barry. When we return, we'll ask him about the Warriors and the Cavaliers.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gal and Carla Dawson.
It's the long weekend kicking off summer. Is your car ready for summer road trips? From changing your oil and filter and topping off fluid to inspecting your vehicle's braking system and replacing cracked wiper blades, O'Reilly Auto Parts has the thousands of parts and accessories at guaranteed low prices to get you on the road. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, joining us now on SB Nation Radio is a real treat. He's an NBA Hall of Famer, Rick Barry. Rick, welcome into the show.
Well, thank you very much. But, you know, I got to get people to clarify this. It's not just you, it's everybody. It's actually the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. The NBA doesn't have it like football has their Hall of Fame. The NBA actually supports the Naismith. So it's just Basketball Hall of Fame, is easier to say. So just so for future reference for everybody.
Fair enough. Well, we have Basketball Hall of Famer Rick Barry joining us. Rick, you played for both the Rockets and the Warriors. What fun it is to get you on to talk about that series. What are your observations thus far?
Well, the nice thing is that regardless of who wins, I could still be happy, although I'll be happier if the Warriors win since I played for them and was on a championship team. But I think the Rockets blew a great chance in the last game. They came in with, you know, obviously needing to win a game, and they still have another opportunity coming up here in a couple of days to get their home court advantage back. And the Warriors came out, and the Warriors were not playing well. The Warriors were not shooting the ball well at all. None of the three guys were shooting the ball well in the first quarter. They were horrendous. They didn't play particularly well. And the Rockets, unfortunately for them, were worse. They didn't play well at all. And they blew a great opportunity to perhaps get a victory and earn the home court advantage back. And so now they're faced with a very difficult task after getting their butts handed to them. And just destroyed in the second half of the game, especially. And they've got a team that's not going to lay down and not be ready to play like Game 2. I thought Game 2, the Warriors were not mentally ready to play that game. And as a result, the Rockets played, I thought, exceptionally well and beat the Warriors handily. I don't think you're going to see a Warriors team come out and play the way they played in Game number 2. You're going to see a Warriors team that came out and played with the type of intensity they had in Game number 3, especially the way that they performed and played late in the second quarter and into the third quarter. That's the Warriors team that the Rockets are going to have to combat, and I think they're going to have a very difficult time beating them.
I agree with you, Rick. In question today, so Mike D'Antoni, Houston's coach, said the pressure's on the Warriors. That's what he said this afternoon. And I don't know if this came before or after this announcement that Andre Iguodala is probably not going to play tomorrow night due to a knee injury. Does that change what you think is going to happen in Game 4 with the Warriors dominating, hopefully, again?
Yeah, well, if that's the case, then certainly it will diminish the efficiency of the Warriors because Andre has been a very integral part of their success. And so that changes things. But then they have other people on the bench who come in and who can play well. So it'd be a lot different if it was one of the big three, if it was Clay, Steph, or KD. And it looks as though, you know, Steph broke out of whatever slump he was in.
Yeah, they unleashed that beast, yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Pretty convincingly he broke out of that. And so if he's playing at that level, and here's the thing that's scary about it, Clay Thompson didn't have a great game shooting in the last game. So my whole thing, when you play the Warriors, you have to hope that two of their three guys are having bad games because they could still beat you, especially at the Rockets. If the Rockets aren't at their best and two of those three guys are on their game, they're going to have a hard time beating them. If all three are on their game, I don't think they can beat them. And so in both games that were won by the Warriors in this series so far, only two of the three guys really shot the ball exceptionally well. I'm talking about especially from threes. And Clay shot like 40% in the first game, and KD was on fire. And then in this game, it was KD and Steph without Clay. So, you know, you just have to pray that two of those three guys aren't doing well. And so if two of them do it and the Rockets are at their best, the Rockets still have a chance. But they have to play their best. They can't play the way they played in Game 1 or the way that they played in Game number 3. They have to play the way they played in Game number 2 to have a chance.
We're talking to former Rocket and former Warrior, Rick Barry. So, Rick, one of the observations we've had in this series, and in fact it's true of the Cavaliers and the Celtics, is there seem to be no close games. And I don't really know how to explain that. Is the emotional swing game to game that pronounced? Is it that the players get up and down and they just can't stay at an even plane? How do you explain the one-sided nature of these games?
Well, here's the thing. It's the most difficult thing to for an athlete, a professional athlete, or for any athlete to do, is to maintain focus when you're on the court the entire time. Here's the deal. As a coach, I could get a player to play hard because he knows if he doesn't play hard, he's not going to play, right? Putting the effort forth. But if you're playing hard, but you're not focused on what you should be doing and doing it the correct way, you're a half a step late. And if you're a half a step late in basketball, you're history, okay? You just can't afford to do that. So that's kind of what happens, and it really kills you on your defensive end and makes things easier for the other team. So what you've been seeing is teams lacking the ability to stay focused and be ready to play the game the way they need it to play. You saw that happen for the Warriors for sure in game number two, and I think a little bit you saw that for the Rockets, certainly in game number three. They weren't really ready to get out there and get it done. They were making mistakes. They were turning the ball over. And, my gosh, I can't remember seeing a game in the playoffs ever where one team missed so many point-blank layup shots next to the basket as the Rockets did in its last game. It was unbelievable.
I think it was 19 or 17, something crazy like that.
Oh, no, it's an insane number of misses that they had that could have been points on the board that could have totally changed the whole outcome of the game, perhaps, especially early on when the Warriors were struggling so much. It was astonishing to me, to be perfectly honest. And so it's going to be very interesting to see how the Rockets come out and play in this next game and who's going to fill in for Andre and what's going to happen with that. There's always little stories within the story, and those are ones that will be interesting to see how they play themselves out in this next game.
And, Rick, we're talking with former Hall of Famer, NBA champion, NBA Finals MVP, eight-time All-Star Rick Barry. Draymond Green, everyone knows about the big three and the offense that they bring. To me, he is the X factor. And how do you feel about that? Do you think he is really the difference maker as far as on the court and off the court?
Well, he's kind of the hub. He's the guy that he's the energizing bunny. He's the guy that plays the tough defense. He's so smart to have done what he did. Once KD joined the team, I said this 2 years ago, that Draymond needs to just now not even worry about his offense. Mm-hmm. Rebound, play the tough defense, and be a facilitator. And that's exactly what he's doing. He's getting a lot of triple-doubles. He's not scoring a lot of points. But he's capable of getting you 20 points or more as well. He doesn't care about that. He just cares about winning. So he's doing the little things, the dirty work that needs to be done, and he is kind of the hub. The other guys are the big stars doing it, but the differentiation is in KD. I mean, there's nobody can match up to KD. There's never been a player of his size who plays the game the way he plays, who can shoot the three, who can go to the basket, who's a great free-throw shooter, who's becoming a facilitator and getting the balls to people, which he didn't do when he was at Oklahoma City. He's just made himself so much better a basketball player, and he's playing in a system that I told people when he first went there 2 years ago, I said, KD is going to get more easy shots than he ever dreamed of having in his life that he's never experienced before. And that's exactly what's happening. And that's what happens when the Warriors play. Here's another reason why I think the Rockets have to be concerned. They got their butts crushed. The Warriors only had 20 assists. For the Warriors, that's not a big total. They usually pass the ball and do a lot more things. And when they're playing that kind of basketball and they're shooting the ball well, that's when they are totally and completely unbeatable, especially if they're playing defense.
Rick Barry joining us here on SB Nation Radio. Okay, let's shift gears to the Cavs and the Celtics about to tip off. What adjustments do the Celtics need to make after that debacle in Game 3?
Well, they fall into that category we just got done talking about, being ready to play. You know, they got a two-game lead. They came out there and thought, you know, it's going to be another easy thing. And they're playing against a veteran team that was not about to get embarrassed, a team that proved even last year that they're not about to get embarrassed, because what they did in Game 4 when they could have been swept, they came out with great pride and played a heck of a game to win Game number 4 against the against the Warriors last year. And so they came out ready to get after it, and everybody contributed. And what the difference was is that they made an adjustment where the other players finally stepped up and gave some help to LeBron. He didn't have to score 40-something points for them to have a chance to win. He only got 20-something. But what did he do? He became a great facilitator. I think he had more assists in that game than he's had in any playoff game, 12. And so, yeah, they played outstanding basketball. They were ready for the challenge. They knew they had to win that game, just like they know they have to win this next game tonight as well in order to get back to Boston, because they still got to find a way to win in Boston to win the Eastern Conference Championship. So it's still all on them. But Boston, being a young team, that may have been an eye-opening and learning experience for them, hopefully for their fans it is, and for the team, they have to go out and be ready to play and meet the challenge. It's a matter of, like, again, being focused, going out there and playing the way that you know you're capable of playing, but doing it consistently for as many as 48 minutes as you can possibly muster.
I agree. And this whole comparison with MJ and LeBron, like, one's a small forward, one's a two guard. It's not the same position. How
Michael,
can you do this?
No, Michael's the best two. LeBron's the best three to ever play the game. It used to be Jerry West at the two until Michael came along.
How would you like playing in today's NBA with the three-point shot?
Well, I had a three-point shot at some time, but we didn't have it growing up and learning to do it. I got better. I got up to about 33%, which is equivalent to 50 from twos, and it's certainly, you know, certainly more than acceptable. I mean, to me, the criteria is if you can't shoot at least 30% from threes, you have no business ever taking a three.
Yep.
And 33%, again, equates to 2 point, a 50% shooting, which is very good. But, you know, nowadays guys are shooting. I know if I were playing today and that was part of the game, I would not be happy if I was not a 40% plus shooter from threes. I mean, that would be my goal. The really outstanding shooters shoot 40% and above. And so, yeah, if it's used properly, the teams are starting to figure out how to use it properly. You can still get hurt with it. The perfect example is, you know, two seasons ago, the Warriors killed themselves at the three-point shot in Game 7 of the Finals. The last 4 minutes and 20 seconds, the only shot they ever took was the three-point shot in a close game. They killed themselves. If they were making it, they would have won, but they missed it, and they wound up losing as a result. And so that's what it comes down to. It's just using it judiciously. But if you pass and move and try to go to the basket, go inside out, that's always the easiest way to do it instead of being an outside in play team. And that gets you in trouble. And just, you know, even last night in the game, I mean, they got the Warriors were fortunate that both teams shot horrible for 3-point range. They were jacking up some horrible shots. I mean, some of the shots they took were like 9 feet behind the damn 3-point line, and they're not even coming close to making it. I mean, that's not the kind of shot you want to take. You want to take a good shot, a shot that gives you a great opportunity, a good look. You don't want to be jacking up shots with guys in your face and standing 6 feet behind or more behind the line. That's not good, sound, fundamental basketball. So if it's not used properly, the three-point shot can kill you. But if you use it properly and you have guys who can shoot it, it's an incredible weapon to have. That's why the Warriors are so tough. There are three big guys, the three key guys we've been talking about, all can shoot the three. What's happening for the Rock with the Cavaliers that's so good for them is that LeBron has been shooting the ball better than he ever has. I watched it very carefully because a few years back I made a big comment about his horrible shooting form. And they you know, they made a big deal about it. I said, well, I've been talking about this for years. You guys are finally picking up on it. 3 years. I started this 3 years ago saying about that. And he's got his elbow in, and he's a much better shooter now. He's still not where he needs to be because he's not an 80% free throw shooter. But when he's shooting the ball that well and shooting those crazy fadeaways that he's making, but as a coach, I can live with LeBron James beating me shooting those shots. What I can't live with is LeBron James dribbling down the floor and going in and getting dunks with nobody stopping him. No player, if a team is playing tough team, fundamentally sound defense, should ever be able, in a set deep offense, get to the basket without being challenged.
Fair enough. That's Rick Barry. Rick, thanks so much for joining us here on SB Nation Radio.
I got to get a plug in for you because it's not the plug in because I got two things very quickly. GoGYV.com, GoGYV.com/RBarry. Just listen to the video, folks, and make your own decisions based upon it. I got off of a prescription drug using it. It's a money-back deal. It can help improve your life. Just look at it. And the other one is a gift for you. Go to Rick, R-I-C-K, 24, Rick24.com, and you can get yourself a $200 free travel benefits card that will save you $200. Check it out. It's my free gift to you. God bless.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Rick.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Well, another big NBA night. Celtics and Cavaliers facing off. Celtics, of course, lead the series 2-1. And it seems that each game, one team comes out with just a rush of energy. And right now, it looks like it's Cleveland as the Cavaliers are leading 21-15 in the first quarter.
4 minutes to go. So still early. On the road for Boston, though, that's tricky.
Still early. Interesting, LeBron seems to want to be Hill. He wants to set a tone here. He's taking over the offense for the Cavaliers.
Oh, gosh, that's a new idea.
Well, it was fun to hear
LeBron Rick. Taking over the offense. Oh, my gosh, that is new.
He's shooting the ball a lot.
Yep.
It was interesting here. Rick Barry doesn't really like these comparisons, and this is something I know you voiced before, mm-hmm. to say who's the single best NBA player in all of history. It's hard to do that when there are so many different positions and the game has evolved over time.
No, I absolutely agree with him because the last couple, well, really the last week or so, all anyone's talking about on any sports show is the comparison. Who's the greatest, MJ or LeBron?
Yep.
They're totally different players that played in different eras. One's a small forward, one's a two guard. I mean, what? I don't understand that comparison. So I love that he got kind of feisty about it. I agree with him.
Yeah, and he didn't even want to bring in a discussion of a Wilt or a Chamberlain. I mean, Chamberlain is
a whole different style,
different era. I mean, Wilt was just who he was in that era of basketball.
And he was the center. Again,
right.
Not the same position as either LeBron or Michael. And it is, you know, I think what Rick Barry brought up, which needs to be added to the conversation, is that basketball is a team sport. So every position does something a little bit different and brings something different to the table. So it's really hard to compare apples and oranges, which is what the LeBron-Michael comparison is.
Well, LeBron bringing the A game tonight in Cleveland. 2-1 Celtics leading this series. Cavaliers coming out with a lot of energy, and they have the early lead here in the first quarter. They're up by 7. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.